This is Phil Nee. I hope all your trails are happy. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. Stay tuned for the news from ABC. It's next, sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's 74 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying minutes ago the suspected gunman in the Midtown Manhattan office building shooting had a note on him that alluded that he felt he had CTE, a known brain injury that is possible for those who participate in contact sports. He played high school football and apparently blamed the NFL for it. The NFL is headquartered in that building. It's believed the gunman was looking for the NFL's offices but went to the wrong bank of elevators and ended up inside a different office suite. Four people were killed in the shooting, one wounded, and the gunman took his own life afterwards. Dangerous weather in store for many of us again today.
More than 165 million Americans face life-threatening heat with temperatures that feel hotter than 100 degrees. New York City activating its heat emergency plan, providing access to cooling centers and conducting outreach to at-risk communities.
ABC's Victor Okendo. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says over 60,000 Palestinians have now been killed in the war. This is ABC News. President Trump playing golf today in Scotland, wrapping up his trip there. The trade deal reached there between the U.S. and the European Union, calling for 15% tariffs on most European goods entering the U.S., down from the threatened 30%. But the agreement is still a lousy one, according to some European leaders. Here's ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers.
The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said that this is a good deal that will bring stability to both sides of the Atlantic, but there is criticism coming from some European leaders. Spain's Prime Minister says he supports the trade agreement, but without any enthusiasm, and the Chancellor of Germany says his country's economy will suffer considerable damage as a result of these tariffs.
Costs for some of your medications could be headed up thanks to the new trade deal included in the 15% tariff agreement with the EU. Pharmaceuticals, European countries make up about 60% of all the pharmaceuticals that we import into the United States. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center. A longtime favorite in Richland County, it remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open Monday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or carry out.
It's your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Okay. You don't need 20% down to get into your dream home.
A high near 90 today, hot and humid conditions, increasingly cloudy tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms late, a low of 66. Wednesday, overcast skies with widespread rain and a few thunderstorms, much cooler and a high of 72. Wednesday night, showers ending, decreasing clouds late, and a low of 54. Mostly sunny and pleasant Thursday and a high of 78. The 22nd annual Walk with Grace will be Friday, August 8th at Kruska Park in Richland Center. And someone will win
a new car!
Yes, you could drive away in a brand new 2025 Chevy Trax, valued at over $24,000. Get your raffle tickets now, just $20 each or six for $100. Buy from any Walk with Grace team or stop by the Grace office above Royal Bank, open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 until 3. Call 608-604-8255. Support a great cause and win big, a new car with Grace.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only one part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact me, Katie Bedward, your local Edward Jones financial advisor here in Richland Center. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial Funeral Home. With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, called Pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today and protect against future inflation with a Pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
Hey, Truck and Tractor Pole fans, the Southwest Wisconsin Pullers hope that you can join us this summer at one of our Truck and Tractor Pole events. Thank you to these 2025 season sponsors, including Dan's Diesel Performance, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Augelli Concrete, Cardinal CG, Chasson Smoke, Julie Karen State Farm Agent, Slama Equipment, the Phoenix Center, Wisconsin River Welding, and the Lonesome Dove. Visit southwestwipullers.com to find a truck and tractor pole near you.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On our morning show today from WRCO, Richland County Board Chair David Turk is in the studio with us, and Tricia Clements, the county administrator as well, as we talk about some things that are relevant to Richland County. It's been a little while since we've had them on, and in fact, it's a first time for Tricia, so you go first. We'll have you tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, good morning. So my name is Trish Clements, and I am the Richland County administrator. I have been in this role for just over 3 months, so still getting my feet wet. Prior to that, I was the director at Health and Human Services here in Richland County for about 2.5 years. I have spent 29 years working in county government. This is the fourth county that I have worked in, and I live right next door in Vernon County outside of Reedstown on a family farm with my husband and 4 children.
So tell us a little bit about the job description. What are some things, some duties that you have? Is it kind of widespread?
It is very widespread. I feel like every day is different. Right now, we are really knee-deep in the budget and working on creating our budget for next year, but it really is taking care of the day-to-day operations of the county.
Dave, it's not for a lack of things to talk about. you guys have got a lot of things going on, don't you?
We do indeed. And as Tricia said, it seems like every day is something different. People know some things we've had going on for long periods of time. You get to budget time. That's always an adventure every year. I know from talking to other board chairs from surrounding counties, we're certainly not alone in the challenges we're going to face this year and especially next year. It's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's first of all talk about the campus buildings. I know the last time you were here, you were talking about that. You're right ahead of a community forum. A lot has happened since that time.
A lot has happened, and not a lot of it's visible. People have seen the bridge. That got taken care of and replaced out by the driveway that goes into Simon's out at the campus. So that's done now and in good shape, so we're very glad of that. Things that you haven't seen going on, we've been working with a lot of area school districts and having them come in and take some of the things that were left behind. Furnishings, different science equipment in the science building, classroom equipment, things like that. We've had a few school districts come through. We also had the Brewer Public Library here in town come through and take a bunch of stuff from the campus library. So even though it was unfortunate that the campus shut down and that all this stuff was left behind, at least it's going to some places that are going to be able to use it, and we're very happy to see that.
So it was the property of UW-Platteville, but when they vacated the premises and left the stuff, that became county property?
Yep, that was the agreement that they took what they wanted when they left, and whatever was left behind was ours to deal with, for better or for worse. So we've been working on that. We were able to repurpose some items even for county county use, some desks and things like that that we needed for some of our departments. So trying to make as much of a positive out of it as we can.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a new desk, Trish?
Yes, I did get a new desk. One of the other exciting things is many of the school districts were able to get musical instruments.
Yes.
There were a lot of musical instruments left, and that really helped with them because they aren't cheap to purchase. So we were very excited that they could take advantage of those.
Dave spoke about the new bridge, but yes. That's a great addition, isn't it?
It is. It is. It'll be nice to have that safe passage into the campus area.
Is there talk about the other bridge then, Dave?
It's one of the things we talk about. It's not determined yet whether we're going to do that or not. A lot of that will depend on what happens with the property moving forward. And that's really the other big issue we've been working on, is trying to figure out, the county's not in a position to hold this property for a long period of time. It's a cost drag on us. Something in the neighborhood of $10,000 to $12,000 a month is the number we've most been able to get together as far as a cost of paying utilities, paying maintenance, especially now the way the weather has been. Boy, there's a lot of mowing going on out there. So it's a drag on a county budget and county operations. We do have some extension staff in Melville Hall right now, but that's the only building that we're actively using. We have an MOU with the school district in Simons to share some usage of the gym, but other than that, it's sitting there waiting for the next thing to happen, and that's what we're trying to take steps towards now, is figuring out what that next thing will be. We've engaged a consulting firm to help us create a proposal process for people that would be interested in taking over the property and redeveloping it in some way, shape, or form.
Do you take regular calls, Trish, on the campus property?
Not a lot anymore. I feel like when we do get calls, it's usually follow-up to a meeting that we've had. I think people are really following the meetings and listening and seeing there what's going on.
A lot of people have ideas of what they'd like to see, though, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And that's part of this. We've engaged with Short, Elliott, and Hendrickson to do the campus redevelopment project, and that will be one piece of the project. We'll be getting community input and really hearing from the community, what do they want to see happen there? It really is about making it a sustainable asset to the community.
Are there buildings that are a little bit too far gone to resurrect? Or, you know, have you made the call on any of those yet?
Depends on how much money you want to spend.
Oh, okay.
A builder will tell you, you can do anything if you're willing to spend the much money. But there are definitely buildings in condition where it would require more investment to bring them up to code and usability standards for today than what it would cost to build a brand new building.
Okay, so that is ongoing right now in terms of the next school year. But I was excited. I think the community was excited, David, when you got that memorandum of understanding with the school district, where you've got a chance to use it. The Simons can use it, community can use it, and also the school as well.
Yep. We were glad to finally get that in place. It was a lot of back and forth with figuring out the particulars of the language of the agreement. But we got that done, and now they're able to utilize that. Maybe not on the hottest days, as the air conditioning isn't functioning in that building, but at least they're able to get some use out of it. And so moving forward, we want to look at, okay, what is the best use for this property? In the community, there's a lot of discussion about housing. Is that the best use? Is it a mix of housing and commercial development? There are certainly other commercial development ideas. I talked to the mayor, too, so, you know, you hear about these things. But what would be the best use? And maybe there's somebody out there that's got an idea we haven't thought of yet. And so we'll have a process for those kind of things to come in. SEH that we're working with has lots of contacts nationwide, and so it's a pretty big circle they can draw from.
Trish, the ambulance, that's been another hot topic with the county. Can you address that?
Yeah, so our ambulance service continues to go, and we continue to serve the community. We are we have hired Barbara Scott to be our interim service director. She's agreed to a 3-month commitment so that she can work on fulfilling staff and really working on the budget for next year and making sure everything is in a good position for the next director to take over.
So 3 months, and then the director will be hired, hopefully.
Yes.
Then?
Yes, that's our hope. And that's, I think, plenty. We could probably twist Barb's arm to stay a little bit longer if we can hire somebody within those 3 months.
Sure. What are the numbers like in terms of EMTs?
That right now we have 4 full-time EMTs, and I believe probably a dozen either casual or on-call EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing okay there, and we're continuing to have applicants come in. Recently we had about 5 leave, but we've hired 6 since that time.
Okay. So there's a hiring process then you're going about taking apps right now, Dave?
Oh, yes. And that's pretty much an ongoing thing. We're always looking for good people, especially for our EMS. It gets to be an interesting discussion. Emergency services like that, ambulance in particular, are not a required by law county function. But in rural areas like this, and we're not alone in this, it's a function that counties have stepped into to make sure it happens because it's so critical for the community. And so our intent is we definitely want to see this service continue. We want to find our ways to make it viable and sustainable moving forward. We're working with the various entities that are served by the service on modifying our agreements to ensure that we're in a good position moving forward. And that's what we're really trying to do, get things stabilized, get things ready so that we can continue to provide the vital service to the people who need it around here.
What about emergency management? Have you hired a new director there?
We have an interim director there as well, and I'll let Trish talk about that.
Right. Yeah, so John Heinen, who has worked with the county for several years, has agreed to be the interim director. Our hope is to hire somebody next year. Of course, John is welcome to apply for that position, but we're looking at having the two positions separate. So emergency services and emergency management, and having two different individuals cover those.
Okay. Some other things. Yeah, you're right in the middle of the budget thing right now, aren't you, Dave?
We are indeed, and that's, you know, Trisha's knee-deep, neck-deep, I guess, in it. Budgets are challenging every year. We have a very restricted revenue source of local property taxes, and obviously we don't want to take more than we have to from our community because folks need money to spend and generate economic activity. And, of course, it isn't just us on the property tax. You've got the city, you've got the tech colleges, you've got school districts. So we're very mindful of that as we look at our revenue, plus the legal restrictions the state puts on us as to how much revenue we can raise through that. In the last several years, our allowed increase in local property tax levy for our yearly budget has been minuscule, actually went backwards one year, where it went down instead of up. Obviously, that hasn't happened with anything we buy. So managing that revenue versus expense picture is an incredible challenge, and we're facing probably some difficult choices this year, but the way it's setting up 2027 is going to be very, very challenging to figure out, okay, this is what we have. What do we do with that money? How do we provide the most services we can with that funding available?
Tricia, in terms of, yeah, as they mentioned, things continue to go up and salaries go up, you know, and need to go up and things like that.
Right.
So it is a challenge. You kind of have almost a crystal ball, don't
That's
you?
That's right. Yeah, and state aid is frozen, so that doesn't go up either. You know, the state and federal aid that we receive typically stays exactly the same. And we are watching to see, are we going to have some decreases in that? So far, we've been okay, but we really don't know moving forward how that's all going to look. So we do have to do some deep dives into the budgets and looking at how do we do more with less.
In terms of upkeep for the county and sand and salt on the roads and things like that, that all has to be a part of it too, doesn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. And it really is looking at how do we take care of our roads? Right now, I think we're on a 56-year cycle, but if we're not able to add to their budget, we're going to have to be moving out that road repair. So we really are looking at how do we take care of those essential and mandatory services.
Indeed. Are there grants available? Do you work with the state for that?
There is some, and I know like right now with Highway, there's a couple that are out there, but there still is a county match, so we still have an obligation to cover some of those expenses. We do have the O project going on right now, so I think people will be very excited when that's completed.
What's the timeline for that, Dave?
They would be wrapping that up yet this construction
yes.
season. I know once they started, they've been going full blast out mm-hmm. there, and our Highway Commissioner, Josh Elder's been keeping us up to date on the progress and all that they've been doing. They're moving a lot of dirt. I noticed that, so... but there was a lot of talk a couple years ago when the state changed shared revenue, which is one of our biggest funding streams from the state, and they put more money into it, which was great. We had seen that revenue stream be stagnant for almost two decades, and so they made improvements in it, but they jumped it up, and now it's stagnant again. And so while that helped out for a period of time, we're getting back to a point where, all right, now that that's not changing, we're getting back to the problems we had before, these collisions of increasing expenses and flat revenues. So while it did help in the time and gave us a few years to kind of catch our breath, we're rapidly getting back to the point we were before the state took action. So
Are there other construction projects in the county going on right now in terms of the roads?
Oh, there definitely are. I know if you head Highway 80 north, there's a lot going on between County C and Hillsborough. And it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody that's driven that on a regular basis. That was much in need of attention. So that's happening. And, you know, it's orange diamond season in Wisconsin. So you'll see signs in a lot of places. There will be some seal coating going on. There will be some other projects that our county staff are working on for road improvements. So you'll see a fair amount of activity while the weather's good.
What's the timeline for Highway 14? Is that next year?
That is still next year, and Josh gives us an update on that because he checks to make sure it's still next year. That's what he's been told by DOT officials and by legislators, and trying to keep the pressure on them that, yeah, that needs to happen. Obviously, you're well aware of it because you live right out here on it at the radio station. So you've got a pavement project that's probably 7-8 years past its expected lifespan and much in need of attention. So we really want to keep the pressure on the state that, yeah, this, you say 2026, it really needs to be 2026.
I need to update the suspension system on my Pontiac Vibe, too, because it's a little bumpy out there.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the vicinity. You mentioned county. Oh, so let's talk about Pine Valley's water situation. Can you give an update on that, Trish?
Yeah, so we have the water tower that houses our water, and we're really looking at, is that right now up to code? Is it continue to provide safe drinking water? And what is our next step when it's time to make some changes? So we're talking about connecting with the city water, moving the tower. We're really looking at all options. And our next step is really doing a deep dive into that tower to look at where are things at and what are we needing to do and in what time frame.
Are there some things going on right now with it, David?
What we've been doing is evaluating. The water is safe. It's tested on a regular basis. It's treated. Pine Valley has its own well that feeds that system, and the well is in good shape. So it's not the water source that the problem. It's looking at how best do we get that water out of the well, up into the reservoir, and then back down to the facility. The current reservoir, I believe, is like 40,000 gallons, something like that. It's about, if you look at current standards, it's about half the size to provide fire protection for 2 hours for the facility. So that's one reason we need to be looking at making an upgrade, is to ensure that there's sufficient flow of water for fire protection if that's necessary. It is old. It has some condition issues. Again, nothing unsafe, but looking at really, okay, one of the options is to just fix it, refurbish it. It's a lower cost option, but everything around it is still just as old as it's been before. There is actually no electric power at the site where the reservoir is, and there's some monitoring things there that run on batteries that they have to trek up there and change the batteries every so often. So if we were able to upgrade and bring in AC power so that it ran things properly, that would be a humongous boost for the viability and monitoring on an ongoing basis of that source. So
that, again, is part of the budget process, I'm guessing, trying to, you know, get some funds, right?
To figure out how to pay for it. There are grants available for projects like that, and they've engaged with a consultant who's very well connected in those grants and has been giving us some good advice. So whichever route we look at taking, it's obviously figuring out the dollars and cents and figuring out the impact on an ongoing basis.
Water is safe. I'm guessing you're monitoring that all the time as well.
Yeah. Yep. And that's required to do on an ongoing basis anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. On the morning show, we're talking about all the things surrounding the Richland County Board, and Chair David Turk is here, along with Tricia Clements, County Administrator, and we'll have more coming up in a moment.
So, you've got your dream car, your dream girl in the passenger seat, and nothing but road in front of you.
Okay, slow down a little, yeah?
But this isn't a dream. This isn't a movie or a video game. This is real life. And in real life,
look out, look out, look out,
there are real consequences. Speeding endangers you, your loved ones, and everyone else on the road. While speeding may seem like the quicker option, speeding catches up with you. This message is presented by NHTSA.
This is Mark Jelenic with the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Individuals often seek ways to ease the burden from their loved ones. One of the largest burdens you can take off your loved one is to make known what you wish to have done upon your death. We at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center and Muscadet are here to assist you in making your wishes known to your family in a comfortable, stress-free environment.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Turn up the heat with A&W's Double Spicy Papa Burger. Two juicy all-beef patties topped with two slices of melted American cheese, bold jalapenos, crisp lettuce and fresh tomato, and a drizzle of the signature spicy Papa sauce. It's the burger your mama warned you about, and then some. This fan favorite is packed with flavors, so stop by A&W and make your next meal a spicy one. Serving up smiles the old-fashioned way, right in Boscobel at A&W on Highway 61. Prices and participation may vary.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're talking about Richland County with Board Chair David Turk and Tricia Clements, County Administrator. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about some board vacancies, Dave. Got some openings.
Currently, we have two vacancies in Districts 11 and 12, both of which are in the city of Richland Center. We've had a couple of board members resign for various reasons, and so we're looking for folks to step in and fill out remaining terms for those two vacancies. And anybody who has interest can contact Trish. They can contact our county clerk's office and just let them know they're interested. The way we fill these typically is we have folks who are interested come and appear before the board. And in the most recent case, we had two different people that were interested in one seat. They both came, talked to the board briefly, and we made our choice as to which one we selected to fill the seat.
You have to live in that area to
Yes, you
serve.
Have to live in the district there, that, mm-hmm. and those maps are available online on our county website. You can go and take a look at the boundaries. In the city, it gets interesting because you got to follow what street and what side of the street and all that stuff. So,
I'm glad that people stepped forward and served. Do you recall why you first did?
Yeah, it's... Some people say it's a thankless job, but it's not. It is a job where you get a chance to make a difference, and I think that's the most rewarding part. You know, I've been doing this for a lot longer than I ever thought I would. I'm in my seventh term now, so and somehow became now the longest serving member on the board.
that goes with age sometimes too, you know.
We don't talk about that part. but yeah, it really, you learn a lot. It's a constant learning process. I said that I'm in my seventh term now. I'm still learning stuff. So you get a real great idea for what it takes to make things happen that you see around you. Some of the things we take for granted every day, like the ambulance rolls when 911 calls come in, that the snow gets plowed, that, you know, all these other things that happen that you don't even think about. You gain a real appreciation for that when you get inside the county board and understand what it takes to make those things happen.
There are probably days when you think back and say, why did I get involved in this?
There may have been a day or two where I thought that, but overall, it, as I said, it's definitely a positive experience and a chance to you know, really be able to not just understand, but affect the way things happen and make a difference for people. So,
Richland County Fair is coming up, Trish, and you have some exciting news.
We do. We're offering free admission to the fair this year, so we're very excited about that. The fair will be September 3rd through the 7th, and we're really hoping that we have good weather. I know we had some unfavorable weather last year, so we're really hoping for a great turnout this year.
That is exciting news. I think a lot of people will be in favor of that free gate.
Yes, and I hope people spread the word and share that it is going to be that free admission. We will charge for grandstand for the events at night, but during the for the regular fair, anybody can get in anytime they want without having to pay a dime.
And I think, Dave, that's important when you talk about the civic groups that are a part of the fair. If somebody wants to just stop by and have a sandwich, they don't have to pay to get in the gate, right?
Yeah, and that's part of it. It has been a challenge for us to find gate volunteers for many years to handle that whole admission process and selling tickets. So this will make it easier on us as organizers. And again, yeah, we're hoping that traffic volume increases because people coming through and visiting the exhibitors and riding the rides and eating the food and all that stuff, experiencing what the county fair is, that's what we really want to see, and that will benefit everybody.
Same carnival as in the past then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, same carnival. And our grandstand events, we're having a demo derby, a lumberjack contest, and then also high mileage will be there one night.
Oh, that's great. Good stuff. Everybody loves a demo derby.
Yes.
And Dave, you're going to enter the lumberjack contest, are you? Start growing that beard.
I'm not a lumberjack, but I have played one on stage.
Well, that's coming up quicker than you know, my goodness.
Yes. Right?
It is. It really is. So you look at things on the calendar. I mean, we're here at the end of July already, so August is around the corner, then Labor Day, and then fair.
Yes.
You know, so it happens very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. So that is coming up soon. The other things we wanted to talk about today, there have been some discussions about potential new courthouse jail facility. Dave, any update on that?
Well, we've been working with our consulting firm for quite a few months now, looking at the condition of our facilities, and we had the report, and we had a public meeting where we went through, you know, the campus buildings, but they've been looking at the rest of the county buildings and recently expanded their scope. They also took a look at Simons. They took a look at our emergency services building down by Crosscut Park and at Pine Valley. And we're still getting data back from those three things, but we wanted to get a really good picture of, okay, these are all the facilities that we depend on and want to utilize in the county. What kind of shape are they in, and how can we address needs moving forward? From what we've learned so far, we know that very obviously our courthouse is not new, not even close to new, and in many ways there are a lot of things to be desired from that facility, both for the courts and especially for jail and law enforcement. Our jail is 40 plus years old and would not meet code if it were built today. We have been grandfathered in on a number of things, and it's not getting any newer and it's not getting any better. So we need to come up with a plan moving forward. So what are we going to do? And so we've done some very initial evaluation of potential sites, starting with, okay, what sites does the county already have control over? And then looking at, you know, well, what could we easily transition into? We've talked to the mayor a little bit about some property that's available in the North Industrial Park that could be a potential site. And so we've just looked at those sites, and the consultants helped us by saying, okay, well, if you did this here, here's what it could look like. So we looked at downtown where we are right now. You know, how could we potentially expand the footprint of that property a little bit to accommodate the needs of the county moving forward? And so they came up with some preliminary ideas to say, well, if you did that, you know, here's what it could look like. You know, take out the parking area here and you expand over this direction and come up with something that could happen. Not to say that that's the best idea or even the most affordable idea, but it's an idea. We did look at the industrial park site. We looked at another site of some property the county owns up that direction just to see, well, if we did it here, what could it look like? Those discussions generated some feedback from folks, and we just want people to understand these are very preliminary things that we're doing. We aren't ready to build anything yet. It's going to be an incredibly large investment that we have to make. When the consultants first ballparked figures for us, okay, the ideal would be we have a combined law enforcement courthouse and all county operations in one facility. Some counties have done that. It's been quite successful. We couldn't afford to build that. We can't even borrow enough money to build that structure. So that idea is not going to happen. And as we're talking about these long-term things, we're also looking at our current facilities because we have to keep running in the meantime. So courthouse security is a concern. What can we do to improve courthouse security for people coming in, for staff, to make sure that it's as secure as possible? And I know, Trish, you've had some of those conversations recently.
Yeah. Yeah. So really the priorities that we're really looking at is, number one, the courthouse safety and building a new jail. We know those are two things that we'll have to do, but we also know it's going to take time. From the moment we decide we're going to build a new jail or build a new facility, it's going to be 3 years before they even break ground, is the information that we have. But we really want to make sure that we're taking our time to make this decision and that we're making the best decision for the residents of Richland County.
With any construction project, you know, the longer you wait, it seems to go up every year, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. And right now, we're really starting, now that we've got a plan moving forward with the campus, I really feel like our focus can really be on future building plans for the county. And I think that can be our focus, and we can really start to look at how are we going to do this moving forward and putting a timeline in place.
So you could possibly sell some property to put that in the coffers for the next project, or how does that work?
Well, it's not that that's not a possibility, but it's not going to generate nearly enough revenue to really impact a project. Obviously, the amount of property we hold as a county is something we evaluate on an ongoing basis. If we're holding on to a piece of property that we don't need, it's in the taxpayers' best interest to get it out into somebody else's hands, who would then pay taxes on it, ideally. So that's a question we ask ourselves, but it's not necessarily going to be, you know, a big answer. If we were to build an all-in-one facility somewhere, obviously we could vacate the current site we're on, and, you know, a block of property in the downtown of Richland Center would be prime development opportunity. Probably not realistic in any kind of short-term stuff. Long-term, who knows? But we're looking right now at, okay, how can we provide the services we need to do in a safe and efficient manner? As Trish said, the timeline we have to be mindful of. We have a history in this county of putting things off because we maybe can't afford them in the moment. And as you correctly observed, Phil, that doesn't make anything cheaper. Deferred maintenance, I say, is a way of saying, yeah, I want to pay twice as much for this someday. So we've done that a number of times over the history, even in the time I've been on the board, and we can't allow ourselves to continue that pattern. We learned that when we got our assessment of the condition of the campus buildings. A lot of deferred maintenance resulted in what we learned about the quality of those buildings. We're seeing it in the condition of our current courthouse and county office complex that, yeah, there are some needs because of some maintenance that was deferred. Some of it we have to take care of right away. Other decisions are, well, do we do this now or do we, you know, limp along till we can get a newer facility built? But as Trish said, it's going to be a long-term decision to build a facility. You can't decide and then next year move into it. It doesn't work that way.
Trish, I'm curious on some of the feedback that you've had after the recent discussions. Anything negative? I'm sure people like the history of the courthouse and that building. Is that kind of where some of the negativity would come in then?
I think some people are just worried where we may build and if it's going to be in their backyard is the greater feedback that I have received. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think people want to maintain the courthouse, the history of it, you know, the woodwork, some of those fine details of the courthouse people would hate to see leave. And there is a possibility that we can work to restore it. It's really just kind of taking a look at the big picture and looking at the cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for that, but again, you'd be still left with an old building.
Yes. Correct.
If you do
yes.
that as well.
Yes.
That
Absolutely.
Was one thing we learned through our consulting process. Some communities have the historic courthouse like we have, and they continue to use it moving forward, which is all well and good so long as it serves the purpose you need it to serve. Does it work for what you need it to do? And that's the real question for us in county operations is, okay, can we do our business successfully in this building using it as it is? If the historic courthouse is preserved, that's not a county function. That would be getting into somebody else's hands, like what happened with the city auditorium in Richland Center. Who would be interested in preserving and developing and creating an opportunity with that? We always have to be looking at, as nice as some things are, Well, we still got a government to run here. We have people to serve. The courthouse is beautiful in some people's eyes. Maybe some other people don't think so much. Certain bats find it quite attractive.
I'll admit I've been lost in that building a few times.
It's got accessibility issues, to be honest. It's not easy to navigate that building, even with the elevator we have in place. If you were going to be using it long term, you're talking about probably adding a second elevator so that you can have more security and stuff like that. And that's, you know, $2-3 million right there. So if we're not going to stay in that for the duration, would you commit that much money to making that improvement? Those are some of the questions we're asking ourselves right now. Is it an option to perhaps stay there? Perhaps it is, but you're going to have to invest a major amount of money to improve flow and access in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Ballpark figure. What are we talking if you went and you dug ground in a new area and built a new jail and courthouse, Tricia? Any idea?
I believe it's over $100 million.
That was for the full combined facility.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Our consultants have been good about taking a look at what's realistic for Richland County. They started with a design aspect and then said, well, maybe if we scaled this down a little bit. And this is when they were looking at the footprint of our current facility, trying to come up with a design that was within our budget and within the realm of realistic service provided. I wouldn't be surprised if even just for a jail and law enforcement, you're looking at $40, $50 million. That's just a wild guess. That's not any kind of official estimate. But looking at what other surrounding counties have spent as they have built facilities, and we've had other counties approach us and say, hey, if you want to talk about this, we'll talk with you and share what we learned. So we're looking forward to taking advantage of that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking at all your options. That's what you have to do, right?
Yep.
Okay. What about community forums? Do you have any of those coming up in the near future, Tricia?
Yeah, our next community forum will be on September 29th at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited for that. Give the community an opportunity to come ask questions and learn more about what's going on at the county level. And I have had questions and calls about that, saying, when is your next one? You need to keep doing those. So people do appreciate that.
They're beneficial, aren't they?
Yes.
I think both sides can learn a little bit.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The other topic we wanted to tackle, land conservation. Dave, did you have anything? Tricia?
We've got a great opportunity coming up for well owners.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, that they will be able to have their well water tested, and it will be done for free. It's with the Land Conservation Department and the UW-Madison Water and Trace Elements Research Lab. So they're going to do up to 100 wells here in Richland County. They're going to test for nitrates, E. coli, arsenic. So we're really excited that people have that opportunity to do that. It hasn't been officially released yet, but hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to put a press release out and people can reach out to get that started.
Will people be notified by mail, or they just should watch for some postings?
I would say watch for postings. We're hoping to be able to put it on our website, do some press releases where it's in the newspaper and on the radio. So hopefully people hear about it and on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Is that the best way to keep tabs on things that are going on in the county, Dave?
I would say yes. Our website is a wealth of information. We post all the recordings of our meetings on the website. So if you ever missed a meeting or somebody says, oh, they said this the other night, you can go back and listen to the recording and see for yourself, which is wonderful. I think that's something that COVID kind of forced us into, was becoming more accessible for people not necessarily to be there in the room with us. And I'm very proud that we're able to keep that going, to be more accessible in our meetings, posting our agendas, posting all the documents we deal with for the most part in the meeting, and then sharing the actual meeting itself. People can attend virtually live. They can click on the link and join us online, or they can be there in person. And if they missed it, they can catch up later with the recording. So very, very much easier to stay in tune with county government than it was, say, 10 years ago.
When do you meet?
We meet every third Tuesday night as a full board, and there are committees that meet periodically, and those schedules are on our website as well. The agendas for all the meetings are there, so people can keep track of what's going on and when. We have a very busy executive and finance committee that handles a lot of stuff, and we meet very early in the month, typically ahead of the county board meeting, but we potentially have a second meeting of the month for that executive committee. Not this month, so... probably in August when we get into budget considerations and everything, we'll definitely have a second meeting of that committee. And a lot happens there. And I know Joanne comes to those and covers for the radio station, too. And we appreciate that.
You're in the middle of a radio tower transition, too. Is that project near complete, Trish?
We're hoping that it'll be completed in December. It's taken a few years of labor of love, but we're hoping by December we will have that taken care of. Most of the construction of the buildings and the towers are completed. Now it really is about putting equipment in the buildings on the towers.
And what does that mean then for the county? Better service, Dave?
It'll mean better radio coverage for emergency services. It's another one of those things that we put off too long. And now we're finally getting it addressed. Not only will the coverage be better, the technology will be up to date and increase access for not just, you know, users as emergency service providers, but for other networks as well. It's been some improvement in our dispatch center within the county, replacing some. We were living on a console that was a hand-me-down from La Crosse County at one point. So now we actually have a newer console and more reliability in that operation. So there are things that have happened yet that people haven't seen. People have noticed the towers going up. But as Trish said, just because the tower is completed doesn't mean it's operational yet. There's a lot of testing they need to do. And we learned through this that, you know, leaves on the trees impact the testing results. So that's why it's kind of stretched out to completion date so they can do leaf on and leaf off testing. So,
and where's the location of the new tower?
Oh, there are several in different places around the county.
Okay. Yes. I think we have 9 total. Boaz, Yuba, Muscadet. You're testing my memory here. Richland Center.
And some of them we've built. Some of them were existing towers that we're moving equipment to.
Yeah.
So we did have to, they call it a green field, where you have to build a tower from scratch. We did have to do several of those. Casanova and Viola areas have been problematic over the years trying to get good signal in there. So putting new towers in those locations hopefully will help that a lot.
Yeah. And Yuba is one of those spaces that we kind of had some delays in getting that one going. So that tower hasn't been put up yet, but it's coming, and they're intensely working on that one.
And you have to have the tower, you have to have a building there too, don't you?
For most
yep, something to house the equipment and a generator and things like that. So the other thing we're looking at is, okay, we're investing, you know, $8 million in this project. How do we properly care for that moving forward? We don't have at this point a dedicated staff person to monitor those. Between our emergency people and our IT department, they've been coordinating it so far, but it's not really necessarily either of their job descriptions. So we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we protect that $8 million investment and make sure it's viable and sustainable moving forward so we don't run into a pinch where communications are out?
Our beautiful hills here in southwest Wisconsin and Richland County, I mean, they're wonderful to look at, but you have problems that other counties don't have in communications, don't you?
Yes, yeah. I went to Milwaukee this past week, and in some of those flat areas, you see how tall the towers are not compared to how tall ours are.
Uh-huh, definitely.
Yes. Yep.
Anything else either you would like to add this morning?
Just we appreciate people's feedback. We hear it from numbers. If people have questions about county government, Trish is a good place to start. She's our county administrator. She is the spokesperson for the county. I won't say she knows everything that's going on, but she knows who is doing everything. So she can get you to the proper point of information. As an elected person, I'm certainly available. If anybody has questions, you can give me a call or your county board representative from your area. County board, we're decision makers, we're policy setters, we set direction. We don't know a lot about day-to-day operations always, and that's the way it should be. That's an administrative function. The department heads know what each department is doing. They report to Tricia, and Tricia is the administrator, handles all that day-to-day stuff. So if you ever have questions, she's probably a great place to start.
And like I said earlier, I've spent 29 years in county government. I'm really passionate about serving people. That's why I stay here. That's why I do what I do. And so I love the feedback from the community. I love hearing from people. People have lots of great ideas, and they've been in this community a lot longer than me. So I'm more than willing to learn from them.
Well, you both and the whole board, you've got a lot of irons in the fire, don't you?
Yes, we do.
So come back and see us real soon. Again, that community forum is coming up.
September 29th, and it'll be at the Phoenix Center. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Good. So we'll have some announcements about that when it happens.
Oh, yes.
But come back and see us again.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet. Tricia Clemens, County Administrator and the chair of the Richland County Board, David Turk, on this portion of the morning show.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Now is the time to get a great deal on select Kubota compact tractors. The Kubota B01 series is the number one selling compact tractor in the U.S. They're designed for easy operation and feature performance matched attachments. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $4,000. Now through September 30th, see them or go to KubotaUSA.com/disclaimers for full disclaimer. Stop by Johnson Tractor in Richland Center today to find out more.
Johnson Tractor from land to lawn.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14 next to the Ring Brothers.
Thanks to members of County Board for being in our studio today to talk about some topics for the county. We will close out the morning show week with some great events. We actually have some musical entertainment coming in a couple of days, which will lead us right into our Grace Radio Auction and details on an upcoming rock and roll reunion at Woodman. Another benefit going on there. Roddy Dull will be in with us later this week as well to update us on this Saturday's event. They're going to hit a home run on Saturday in Woodman with temperatures in the upper 70s and sunshine. So we look forward to telling you about that. Our Walk with Grace radio auction coming up right around the corner, day two. So if you want to get on WRCO.com or a WRCO Facebook page and check out the items that you may want to bid on, get ready, get set, because that auction is starting again just after 10 this morning. We'll introduce you to the first half hour of items. We have some unique items, some input from some of the Grace board members and team members as well, coming up between 10 and noon today.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics wants you to stay sun smart until the sun sets. Peak UV hours are between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the time when it is easiest to suffer sun damage. Make sure you schedule a yearly skin check with your provider and pay close attention to any spots you see that have changed or grown. If necessary, you can have a skin biopsy at the Richland Hospital and Clinics within 1 to 2 weeks of referral. Test results are back within 3 to 5 business days. Remember to wear your sunscreen.
Warm up your taste buds at Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel. They've got delicious homemade soups now available, sold by the bowl or pint. Craving something comforting? Try their chicken noodle or hearty chili, perfect for chilly days. And don't forget the cheesy broccoli and bacon cheeseburger soups for a unique twist. Pair your soup with tasty snacks like mac and cheese bites or pretzel bites with cheese. Utter Brothers is your go-to for delicious homemade goodness. Call them at 608-391-3120 and come on down to Boscobel today. Get ready for Youth Archery Day this Saturday with the Scenic Hills Chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation and the Richland Center Archery Club. Registration is from 9:30 until 10 with archery gun shooting, blood trailing, axe throwing, shed horn finding, and fish catching from 10 until 2. Lunch is at noon and equipment is available for kids who need it. And don't miss the Hunting Heritage Guns and Bingo Night Friday, August 15th. For more information, call Jim Birch at 475-4963 or visit richlandcenterarchery.com. WRCO FM 100.9 in Richland Center, where it is 78 degrees this morning. There's BJ Thomas.
Inside of me for, oh, I don't know how long. I don't know why, but I keep thinking something's bound to go wrong. But she looks in my eyes and makes me realize when she
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the gunman who killed four people at a Manhattan office building last night was trying to target the headquarters of the National Football League, but he took the wrong elevator. Investigators also say 27-year-old Shane Tamura was found with a note in his pocket alluding to the idea that he had CTE and put some blame on the NFL for it. Tamura played high school football and had a mental health history, police say. Four people were killed and one was seriously wounded. Tamura took his own life afterwards. Another mass shooting, meantime, in Reno, Nevada.
Police say a suspect opened fire on a group of people outside the Grand Sierra Resort, killing three and wounding several more. Officers engaging the suspect in a shootout. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition.
ABC's Lana Moise. At least 77 Palestinians killed in the past 24 hours, most while seeking food, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Experts warning the territory is on the brink of famine. This is ABC News.